I'll take a few minutes to explain. We live in a unique time, as you know, where we could go on the internet and see and listen to some of the greatest and most influential commencement speakers ever given. If you wanted to, you could go to a particular college or university or an institution, whether it's the Hoover Institute, Hillsdale College, Harvard, it doesn't matter. And you could watch and listen to their previous graduation speeches. You could listen to former President Obama making commencement addresses, or Jordan Peterson, or comedian and actor Tim Allen. There are many examples of commencement addresses. There are inspirational speeches. I think of one by a former Navy SEAL, Admiral McCraven, titled On 10 Life Lessons I Learned as a Navy SEAL. He received 30 million views. That's quite a bit. However, this is not a commencement address or a speech. This is what I would say is more of a ministerial charge. I've decided to call this Tribute Sunday. So what is a tribute service? I guess one could say that a genuine word of thanks or tribute might be a token of appreciation. You've probably known this, but by dealing with young children, if you reward those that do what is desired with positive words of affirmation, while withholding attention from those that are not following directions, those that are complimented will more often, more consistently follow directions and behave more appropriately. We call that positive reinforcement. So let's take this one step further. Paying a compliment to someone that has gone out of their way to please or to serve has a way of rewarding that individual with words of encouragement and thanksgiving. It could be argued that some people serve in order to receive affirmation or tribute. So let's take a moment and realize that giving of thanks is one of God's expectations as well as one of His commandments to His children. So God expects His children, His leaders, and His servants to show appreciation to others for their contributions. If that is so, it could be clearly shown from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that it might be appropriate for us as a church family to demonstrate and to articulate our gratitude for those that have contributed to the overall welfare of the church. And let me give you an example. Each week, we have a group of people. We call them our cleaning crews. They sacrifice time and effort and skill to refresh the church for each Sunday morning service. You've probably noticed that each week in the bulletin, for the last 15 years, we've tried to acknowledge those people by name and thank them for their investment in making our Sunday morning church experience exceptional. At other times, we have seasonal work days, or carpet rip-out days, or fellowship hall painting days, or church office desk assembly days. Victor, remember that? That office desk assembly day? Yeah. Or sanctuary blind installation days. Dan and Victor. Or bearing precious seed collating projects. Or vacation Bible school set up and tear down, etc. So there are some that would suggest that our service to God should not be rewarded because then our crowns will be removed from us when we get to heaven. Then there are those that realize that we are human beings that need and require encouragement and appreciation in order to keep going. I say all of this on this day for a few reasons. Over the years, we have not had a representative sample of students and young people that each year graduated from high school. Therefore, we have not been consistent with a yearly or annual tribute to those students that are graduating from school. But this year, we have Manny Martinez that graduated from Leonardo da Vinci High School. So I would like to dedicate this service and call it a tribute service. The service is a celebration to honor a graduating senior student from high school. A service like this could have guest speakers, various community faculty, occupational leaders, et cetera, but Manny, all you get today is me. Why a tribute service? Well, first, this marks a significant milestone for most students to graduate. You can probably go back in your mind when you graduated from high school. And it's only right to celebrate this period with them and show them that we support them wholly, completely. Apart from showing support, this event also encourages them to embrace the next phase of life, knowing that they have the people around them that will encourage them and support them. Second, why have a tribute service? This gives students the needed courage to move on. There's no better feeling than knowing that the people you love most are totally in support of your dreams and aspirations. Third, tribute services are an opportunity to give high school graduates blessings as they move on to college or the next phase of their occupational journey. The blessings that would help students recognize that they have many supporters around them as they walk into their future. Fourth, and it's also an event where students realize that they have people to talk to outside of their immediate family members. It's a new experience for students to go into the world by themselves. Let me just take one moment to say there are some students that have not had this special service. Erica was one of them. Jason was one of them. My daughter Jessica was one of them. But I did not want to go any further and fail the students that needed this. So for those that we did not do this, 2 and 4, please accept my apologies. But Manny, today's for you. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans 16. I'm not going to take much time, but I would like to dispel what might be in some people's minds, what I might call, I don't know, false humility. Dan had a chance to speak about that last Sunday in Life Group. False humility. There's a proper and biblical attitude toward appreciation and acknowledgement. And there's a not so proper way of looking at this. In Romans 16, Paul takes almost an entire chapter in a book on salvation, of all places, to acknowledge and to recognize people that have had a tremendous impact on his life. Wow, what could each of us learn by this? Perhaps sending a thank you card or a note of appreciation is not so bad after all. Janet, Monty, I'm going to have to get a new box. You are filling up the box already of greeting cards. Paul says in Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. He begins by acknowledging a woman in this culture, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Her gift of hospitality was out of control. She was there for everyone. So we could and we should read the rest, but we don't have to. I'm showing you an example of the Apostle Paul talking about people by name, Priscilla, Aquila, Epaphroditus, Mary, Andronicus, Junia, Amplius, Urbane, Stachys, verse 9, verse 10, Apelles, Aristobulus's household, verse 11, Herodian, verse 11, Narcissus, verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa. I love saying that. Rufus, verse 13. Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus. I guess that's Hermes again. Verse 15, say with me, Philologus. Doesn't that make your tongue just Philologus and Julia, Nerus, and his Nerus, there you are, right there in Scripture. Olympus, and verse 16, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Pastor, what was that all about? Don't let anybody tell you that patting somebody on the back or thanking them or showing appreciation is unbiblical, or that you're going to rob a crown from them if you show public appreciation of what they've done. The Apostle Paul demonstrates right here in Romans 16 the foolishness of that idea. Second, through the years, I've been in many church services. I rarely miss any because when I was younger, I never went to any. Let me say it out of another way. When I got saved, I knew what I was missing. Therefore, I had a lot of catch-up work to do. I really did. So I went to class to learn. Church's class to learn. So I would go to missionary services. I would go to commissioning services. I would go to ordination services. A lot of things like that, that were services that were attributed to particular individuals, accomplishments, incredible changes in their lives, amazing decisions that families and individuals were doing. And as a missionary family ourselves, we were sent by our church eventually to go to Africa. God has redesigned our pathway to come back to here in Buffalo. And in the margin of my scripture, in my Bible, I have a number of passages of scripture, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, that I call Bible calling verses, or verses in the scripture that I believe can be, and I know have been, messages that I've heard in the past given to individuals. So, Manny, I'm not going to give you 15 sermons. I'm just going to pay tribute to you as an individual and maybe show you a few of what some of these verse sections look like. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, Manny, or you, Janet, or you, Danya, or as the church gets sent out every Wednesday night to go into the mission field on Thursday, you need encouragement verses, you need calling verses, you need commitment verses, consecration verses. Where are those for you? Here's a set. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Somebody's praying for you for this, for the calling that God's given to you. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, not think, but that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Many of you wondering about God's plan for your life. It's right here. You don't have to worry, wonder. I'm going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. Just keep your ears open, your hands open, and God will show you. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Mm. And I've got a dozen. But again, they're not necessarily all for you. But there are passages of Scripture that are for us, that we can call and claim and embrace. Could I share with you the verses that our sending pastor gave to us as a Shear family when we were going to Africa? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I have it in my Bible, Pastor George Grace, and the day he gave us those passages of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of what? Of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Okay. And we could spend the entire day talking about calling verses, committing verses, ordination verses. And you've probably been and heard messages like that. But Manny, what I'd like to do at this point is I'd like to look at two specific individuals, Joshua and Timothy, both of which were not the leader. Moses was the leader. Joshua was the servant. Paul was the leader. Timothy was the servant. So let's take a moment and look at those two individuals. First, Joshua. The first time we see or hear of Joshua is in, turn with me to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Now, Joshua has been claimed and really given the reputation of a great military leader. And in Exodus 17, starting in verse 8, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So God selects an individual through Moses. And Moses says, "Hey, Joshua, we need you to go out there and be the head of our military." So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the mountain, top of the hill. You're familiar with the passage of Scripture, I'm sure. It says in verse 11, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When Moses let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." That sounds weird, doesn't it? But Moses' hands were heavy. Not only that, he was kind of getting old. He was over 80. "And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur, one on the right hand, one on the left hand, stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua and the nation of Israel won. They defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of whom?" He didn't want Joshua to forget what God had done through him. And also that he wouldn't misunderstand what happened, thinking that, "Oh, look at that. Look what God did through me. I'm all that." No. In fact, if Moses' hands had dropped, of all things, you would have lost the battle. So here was something that Joshua had to learn about the Lord's intervention and the Lord's help. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. So again, Moses is the main man, right? In the deliverance, in the wilderness wandering, everything's about Moses. But I don't want you to forget we'd be irresponsible if we forgot the most important process that took place in the wilderness and in the deliverance. It was about raising up the next generation. And that's what we're all about here. Okay, now, let me be perfectly honest and as polite as I can be. Who is your Joshua sitting next to you this morning? If you don't have one, you should. If you don't have one, pray for one. Men's prayer meeting this morning, 8 o'clock, we were saying that we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. So we need to pray for a Joshua or a Joshuaette for us to disciple. Exodus 33, verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle, because they were looking at a man. And that's okay, because that's about where they were in their spiritual development at this point. Verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man where? In his own tent. So every man represented his own family. Every man represented his worship toward the Lord in his home, in his tent, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, how? As a man speaketh unto his friend. And he, Moses, turned again into the camp. But Manny, you don't have to be a main man. But if you're not a servant, how can God use you? The Bible says that Joshua was Moses' servant, the son of Nun, a young man. Notice what it says. This young man, by himself, chose not to leave the tabernacle. What does that say? Moses had already left. Who stayed back? Joshua. Was that noticed by God? Of course, that was noticed by God. Was that noticed by the nation of Israel? Probably. Do you think Joshua did that just for accolades, just for a pat on the back? Remember who he was facing in that door. The cloudy pillar of God. And if God can talk to Moses face to face, Joshua said to himself, I'm going to try that myself. Maybe God can talk to me face to face. Yeah. And the third part of Joshua, you already know. I need 12 spies to go up and spy out the land. You all know the story. They all came back. Two with a good report, 10 with a bad report. Who was a part of the two good report? Joshua and Caleb. And what did they have to go up against? 10 nincompoops that said, "Oh no, we shouldn't go. Oh, the people as big as giants. We're just grasshoppers." The peer pressure was intense. It was powerful. So powerful that the two voices were silenced. The entire nation of Israel decided to listen to the 10 because it was a majority vote, after all. It was a church board meeting, a church business meeting. Majority wins, okay? The 10 have it. The two nays, forget it. We don't want your input. And what was the result of that? 40 years of wandering. Did Joshua complain? No. Did Joshua stay with the nation of Israel during that time of discipline? Yes. Did Joshua help bury people? I'm sure. And what was Joshua's reward? Who became Moses' replacement? Joshua. not a good job. Think about that. Who's going to replace Moses? Who on earth could replace Moses? Well, God already had somebody in the camp who had already demonstrated incredible leadership, and so on. We don't have time, but let me just take a moment. Focus on one more individual. You're probably familiar with his name is Timothy. What can we say about Timothy? Wow, there's so much to say. Paul even wrote two books to Timothy. We call them 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. We know that Timothy had a mom who was a Jew. Timothy had a dad who was a pagan. So here was a mixed marriage. This was 2,000, this is not my sermon, but 2,000 years ago, there was a mixed marriage. So if you have a problem with a mixed marriage, you better go back 2,000 years into the New Testament. And if you have a problem with that, go back into the Old Testament. So there have been mixed marriages for thousands and thousands of years. So this Jewish woman should have known better not to marry this pagan man, but she did. And they had a son. His name was Timothy. Not only that, but Timothy had a godly mother. What was her name? Lois. So we have two godly Jewish women praying for an ungodly husband, a pagan husband. We don't know if he was ungodly, but we know that he wasn't a believer. So Timothy is raised in a difficult home, right? Paul goes to that particular town, meets Mrs. Timothy's mom. What's her name? And Eunice, the grandmother. Timothy gets saved through the preaching or the ministry of Paul the Apostle. How do we know? Because Paul calls Timothy his son in the Lord. So of all people that Paul would call my son in the Lord, here was a young Jewish man whose father was a pagan, Greek, his mother was a Jew, and Timothy became Paul's project. One of Paul's projects, because we notice Paul had a number of people that he invested his life into. Timothy was one of them. And we could spend the rest of the morning talking about that. But I would like to direct your attention to a particular passage of Scripture that I used 2014 when we had our service to talk about the combination of the Spanish ministry and the church here in Lancaster. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, if you would. We called it our merger service. Very, very rarely will you see a passage of Scripture that is so descriptive. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send..." Paul the Apostle is saying to the church at Philippi, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you." Paul needed to send someone that he could trust, someone that had training, somebody that Paul didn't have to baby, somebody that Paul could give the baton to and say, "Take it and lead." And he continues and says, "That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." So there's things about the church in Philippi that Paul needed to know about, but he was going to send somebody to them. Verse 20, "For I have no man." You know what that word "no" means? No. Sure. Philippians 2, verse 20. My bad. Philippians 2. You have to know what I'm thinking, not what I'm saying. There's a huge difference. For I have no man like-minded. But he did. And that's why Paul was saying, who will naturally care for your state except for Timothy. For all, verse 21, seek their own. Now there are good guys in the ministry, and there are people that have led to Christ, and there are people in churches all over the Middle East that we've started. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Paul's basically saying we have casual Christians everywhere. We have consumer Christians everywhere. But consecrated Christians, committed Christians, they're hard to find. But ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And there's only one person he's talking about. It's Timothy. Verse 23. Him, Timothy, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul could think of nobody else. Of all the people that Paul knew, Jennifer, of all the people Paul knew, it starts out by serving, by being low, by being not in the limelight, not by being first, but by being last. I'll do whatever he asks me to do. Well, that sounds dumb. I don't know anything. What do you need me to do? I'll do it. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence to move boxes. Not that you're stupid, but you have to be willing to move boxes to move boxes. I know that's not very deep. But if you're not willing, as Stephen talked about this morning in Life Group, it's all about willingness. It's not that you can't hear. You're not willing to listen. That's all. You're not even locked in to pay attention. Man, I'm going to give you the copy of this poem after I read it. One of my mentors, one of the men in the ministry that I highly regard, his name is Dr. Charles Keene. He pastored the church in Milford, Ohio for years. He started First Bible International, a ministry that translates the Bible into all the unknown languages. He used to say this poem by memory once in a while, and I never forgot it. It's called The Bridge Builder. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending of day. You'll never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I have come," he said, "there followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired young youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him." who are you building a bridge for? Victor, you've been blessed. Manny, you've been blessed. Marissa, you've been blessed. Edie, you've been blessed. Of course, Jennifer. God is good. But that's what parenthood is all about. Jay, Jess, that's what it's all about. That's what grandparenthood is all about. David, Zoraida, that's what grandparenthood is all about. It's building that bridge for them and investing whatever God has invested in us. If they're willing to listen and learn and pay attention, there's something you have to share that God has prepared you to share. So if you were wondering what a tribute Sunday was, that's what a tribute Sunday is. Now, Manny, there's one more tribute I have to read from Jose Rodriguez. Congratulations, Manny. Nothing more than God's counsel is sufficient. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Collaborate with the Lord by Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Pastor Jose Rodriguez, June 26th, 2022. Tribute Sunday. Okay. Manny, could you come up and get this for me? There's one more piece of business that I'd like to do before we sing our invitation song. You need a tissue? There you go. Congratulations. We've had an RU ministry here at the church since 2011. A couple Friday nights ago was the last official meeting. And that particular Friday night, we had an opportunity to share, give some testimonies. But since this is a tribute service, I'd just like to pay tribute to Dan as a church family. So, Pastor, here's my tribute for Dan. Thank you for the chance to share with him. Good morning, my name is Bob Johnson, and I served as the director of the RU program at Headstrom Baptist Church for over a decade. It has been my privilege to watch as God worked in Dan's life, convicting him, of his need to overcome his addiction, and then to watch him grow spiritually. Dan was a very faithful member of our program and over time became the men's group leader. He also served as my assistant director. We worked well together and were able to encourage each other as we tried to reach and support the folks who would come on Friday nights. Of course, I was grateful for his service to our group, but I treasure his Christian example and our friendship even more. Dan, I look forward to seeing what God has in store for you as you continue to serve him. God bless you, my brother. This is from John and Laura Bailey. They're at the Church of Akron this morning, ministering the Word of God there. In their absence, they wrote this. John and I want to thank you for your faithfulness, commitment, transparency, patience, and all the many, many hours you labored, prayed, and typed out messages for our RU folks. You gave the program and all the visitors and regular attenders your very best, and it was well done. You know that God stretched you in areas that made you uncomfortable, like Third Talk, but your faithfulness has only drawn you closer to Him. You may not see the fruit of your labors here on earth, but we are sure there will be some visible fruit when you get to heaven. Thank you so much for your willingness to be our director these past few years. Thank you for your service. You know that God will continue to richly bless you as you continue to serve Him in your many other ministries. Sincerely, John and Laura Bailey, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This is from Brad Woodbury, the CEO and executive director of RU International in Rockford, Illinois. Brother Dan, we are incredibly grateful for your years of faithful service and dedication to RU recovery and your community. The position of chapter director is the most challenging within our ministry. The talents and values you have displayed are the markers that define an excellent performance. The battle against addiction is one of our world's most challenging. Individuals like you are God's soldiers behind enemy lines in this never-ending war. Your perseverance and courage offer a beacon of hope in this attack on His children. We hope to bring faith-based recovery to the forefront of this fight. That is our mission, and your service is a stellar example of God's victory. The fruits of our labor are often unrealized in this world. It will only be in heaven where we see our true rewards. Thank you for allowing us to be a partner as you bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. May His blessings remain abundant in your life. With kindest regards, Brad Woodbury, CEO and Executive Director, RU Recovery International. And this is a certificate of appreciation proudly presented to Dan Bohinsky for your service and dedication to the RU Recovery Ministry. Thank you for the transformation in our community. Pastor Richard Shear, June 26, 2022. Dan. Here are your documents, and here's a gift for your contribution. Thank you. Okay, we'd like to end with an invitation song. Now, this is a kind of a new song, but I think you'll get it real quick. Stand up with me, Jay. Would you help us?
Laugh, it's okay. All right.
Reach for the glorious prize, the prize of God's well done. Learn to fix your eyes on the longings of the sun. Surrender all you are. Let all be sacrificed. Reaching for excellence by giving all to Christ. Reaching for excellence by giving. because he gave his all. A crown is his reward, waging for excellence. Our world he will restore.
Fitting song. I didn't choose it. I'm just saying, we're all in a race, and Manny finished one of his, and he's soon to begin it, and we're all in one, and maybe we finished parts of ours, and maybe we're beginning, but we're not done. Okay, sometimes I just don't know what to do up here. Sometimes, okay. Why don't you be seated? Why don't you be seated, and I will go through our announcements here. Okay, July 9th, Men's Ministry, Saturday at 9 a.m., Pastor Art Cole from Faith Bible Baptist Church in Eden, New York. Is that next Sunday?
No, it's actually Saturday.
Two Saturdays from now. I gotta have a visual, so that's why I got this over here. Okay, July 10th, the Ladies Connection. What chapter? Okay. Okay. Hannah and Miriam. Okay. Every time I look at this, I see 16 women, and I think chapter 16, and that's not how it works. So, okay. Chapter 16. No. Okay, July 12th, Deacons Meeting, 7 p.m. Tuesday. July 17th through the 21st is Vacation Bible School, Sunday through Thursday, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Mark your calendars. VBS Store. I saw some flyers, lots of flyers. Would you like to say something about that? Okay, I'll let you say something about that.
They get tickets for different things that they do, whether it's bringing a friend or saying their Bible verse or just for good behavior. And it's something that makes them want to come back because some of them save up those tickets. But in order for them to be excited about doing these things, we do need to have some prizes. If you could go shopping to the Dollar Tree or Five Below, you can buy things for $1.25 up to like $5. That's totally up to you. We appreciate it, but we don't want anything with nuts or peanut butter in it. And actually, I think that more the gifts, the toys and things like that are more exciting. It says penny candy on here, but we also have to be careful about choking hazards with children. So I think let's just wait on candy, and maybe we'll send somebody out who will specifically get candy that would be appropriate for children. So go shopping, have a good time, consider yourself as being a blessing to the children of our church and our community. Start bringing things in by next Sunday.
This is Samaritan Purse Local, where we get gifts for our local people. Samaritan's Purse is when we send stuff overseas. This is Samaritan's Purse for Lancaster. Okay.
And And if you don't know what to get, you go into the store. You could always ask the storekeeper. Like this sounds like in the olden days when you're going to a toy store. But ask them, what's popular with the kids right now? I can think of a few things that I can tell you. They like anything that lights up. There's something about that. So go get these things. And sometimes we might look at something like, oh, who bought that? Kids aren't going to like that. And it becomes a hot commodity.
Yeah.
So go shopping, have a good time, bring your things in, and I'll tell you, I guess right for now we'll be set them on that table. But if you come on that table someplace else, you'll see where the toys and things are. So we really appreciate your contribution. It says on here that you can actually get money and have somebody else go shopping. Well, yes, you could do that, but I think it would be nice for you to go shopping and surprise them with what you bought.
I'm not going shopping.
She looked at me. She said, it'd be nice for you. Anyhow, the things that light up, no fireworks. Okay, just to let you know. I don't know what it is, but in my neighborhood, Thursday night, everyone started shooting off the fireworks. And I think I know what it is. It's taxpayer money in these towns and these carnivals. Please stop. No, it's kids excited about school being out, I think. But I'm trying to go to bed. I'm getting old. Anyhow, I need some clarification on this VBS volunteers. I see here that it says that everyone that is participating and will be working with children needs to complete some form of backup